Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I know I've said this before, but I love rain like this. This is fantastic. I could use more of that myself. Also, a message for the people in Eugene. You can be glad of heart. I was supposed to bring a sermon today, and it was going to be the one I gave in Eugene last month, so you would have got a repeat performance. However, being as a sermonette, this will hopefully be newer used to all of us. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I'm sure we've all heard that before. Perhaps in our childhood at school, when getting picked on, perhaps. Is it true? Is it true? If we really think about it, I think the most of us can say, often by hurtful experience, that it is not true. Words and how they're used can hurt. The power of words, of speech, is amazing. People respond profoundly to the spoken word. And we live in an age of what might be called communication empowerment. Never in the history of man has it been so easy to speak to so many. Social media is everywhere. People are texting and Xing. It used to be Twitter, I think. But now they X everywhere. Even out in the middle of busy streets sometime. Kind of scary. The way that the tool of communication is being used by mankind, however, leaves much to be desired, doesn't it? The world is full of people hurting each other with what they say and how they say it. It seems that mankind as a whole cannot control its collective tongue. James 3 and verse 8 reminds us that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of poison. So yes, words can hurt. They may not break bone, but they can break a person's spirit. What is said and how it is said reveals what a person is on the inside. It reveals what manner of a spirit a person has. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we'll read verses 33 to 35. We see that Jesus Christ spoke of this very thing when he was speaking to the Pharisees here. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 33, just for a little context. Speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." Verse 34, "Brood of vipers," he says. "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." Now, and it wasn't just the Pharisees either that had this issue. We can see, again, around us, there's a problem with the heart of the world, if you will. The heart is sick. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 tells us that the human spirit, the heart, is deceitful and desperately wicked, easily influenced by our mutual adversary, Satan the devil. And so out of that abundance, the heart speaks, the world speaks. And here's the rub. We as God's people are surrounded by this and influenced by it every day. Now, thankfully, our loving Father in heaven has shown mankind and us a better way. Words and how those words are said to others do not have to hurt. They do not have to injure. They can edify. They can instruct. They can comfort. As God's people, we work with his help, with his spirit in us, to rise above that. He calls us to a higher standard of communication, doesn't he? We must be conscious in a loving way of how we use our speech. It's one of the things we can consider during these days of unleavened bread as we look in our lives at the sin we have removed symbolically and for real, and taking in this spirit of love in our speech. We can be light or darkness to others by our words. Put a marker or finger or something like that in here at Matthew 12. We're going to come back to it here in a moment. But let's go back to Proverbs 25 real quick. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. And it's kind of like the cherry on top of the cake or pie or whatever, this verse, Proverbs 25 and verse 11. 25 verse 11 in Proverbs, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's the ideal that we should strive for in our communication. Proverbs 15 is pretty much a treasure trove of wisdom in how we communicate to others. I will give this to you for your reference, Proverbs 15 and verse 26, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. The Lord despises the thoughts of the wicked, but he delights in pure words. This also reveals to us that the heart of a person is tied to what a person says. And even God himself shows that he can be hurt or comforted by the words of others. Now let's go to Malachi 3 and verse 13 real quick. I think I just broke the three-verse rule for a sermonette. But that's okay. Malachi 3 and verses 13 through 15. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. How do you imagine God took this? How do you imagine he felt about this? I'm sure it was probably expected, but these kind of things can hurt, even to God. God tells them here, you hurt me with your words. You hurt me with the attitude that you have spoken them in. Because God hears what's said about him, and he remembers, whether for good or for bad. Okay, now let's put that finger carefully in Malachi while we go back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 again. When words and how they are said hurt or injure or cause division and strife and speak useless things, whether against God or a fellow human being, we see as we go back to Matthew 12 again how this will be dealt with. There will be accountability for this. Matthew 12 and verse 36, Jesus Christ continuing to speak to these Pharisees. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Again, brethren, we, as in humanity, will be judged, not only for the words that are said, but the spirit that they are offered in. Now, let's go back to Malachi, to verse 16 in chapter 3, and then that way you can give your finger a rest. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day I make them my jewels or my treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. This is almost a rebuttal to what was said in the verses prior to this. And God heard these words as well. These had the opposite heart than the former. And that came through in their words to each other. And God speaks of these with joy, doesn't he? As we saw in verse 17. When good, loving things are truthfully spoken from the heart, whether to God or to our fellow human being, there is joy, there's edification, there is love. So again, we see that words, speech, has power. It can hurt, it can wound, but as well, words can heal, soothe, repair, and encourage. The Apostle Paul knew this and practiced this. Through the book of Acts and his epistles, or letters to the churches, he constantly was praising them, uplifting them, encouraging them to continue in the way. And he encouraged them to improve when correction was needed. Nearly the entire book of Philippians is a letter of encouragement, lifting up, praising, good words, and a godly spirit. Paul was a master of encouragement. You can refer to Philippians 4 and verse 8, which many of us know as a memory scripture, to consider the things we meditate on, the good things, the spiritual things. It's whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, and so forth. That will flavor our speech because it will flavor our heart in what is good. We will be a joy to be around. We will be a joy to hear. We will be that light that God wants us to be. You know, a few years back, there was an email update sent out from the home office, the good news at the time, that Mr. Victor Kubik put out. And in that update, he spoke of our communication with one another, of words fitly spoken. He has a talent for speaking to the heart. And he brought out 3 points to beautify and sweeten our communication with others, which I'll go ahead and summarize here. First, express love or fondness. To quote his article, when you communicate a positive thought or feeling, it does make the receiver feel valued. What they are, what they do, is meaningful, and they will then listen to the rest of what you have to say. It really works. End quote. Next is express thankfulness. Express thankfulness. Next to love, the most appreciated communication is gratitude. There are many things that you can express appreciation for and for how the person affects you and others. I love hearing it. Most people do, he says. Thirdly, say or write the name of the one you're talking to. Say or write the name of the one you're talking to. Make it personal, he says. Quoting one more time, there is no word sweeter in the ears of another than hearing one's own name. It gives a sense of respect that goes a long way in the other person responding favorably or cooperatively. End quote. He finishes the article with the following statement, quoting one more time, great good can be done when our words are accompanied by a caring and pleasant attitude. We should always be thinking about how to speak the truth in love and let our speech always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to you ought to answer each one. He's referring to Ephesians 4 and verse 15 and Colossians 4 and verse 6. Reading this told me something, that like all else we receive from God our Father, this subject is very important to him. It is so very important that we speak to all in love and concern. We really are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And how we talk to others and our Father in heaven is an indicator of that. Brethren, as households and society around us decline, we'll only hear more foul language, backbiting, labeling, name-calling, yelling, screaming, anger, fear. We may be surrounded by it, but we cannot let it become part of us. And in staying close to our Creator and having and exercising His spirit of good and love and patience in our hearts, we can embrace that spirit and rise above the verbal misery. We may be mindful of what we are saying and how we are saying it to family, to friends, to strangers, that we may speak good and not reviling to others. We can shine God's light on others in using pure, uplifting, wise words and speech. We can joyfully look forward to the day when sticks and stones will be a thing unheard of, a thing of the past, a phrase without power, where words are fitly spoken and speech that comforts, heals, and builds up, not hurt, will abound.